Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What happened to John the Baptist? What happened to him? Last week in the gospel reading, we heard a very bold man, a bold confessor of Christ, preparing the way for the Lord. Repent! A man who was not shy one bit, very bold, very confident, baptizing, preparing the way. This week in the gospel, he's behind bars, and he's questioning Jesus. Are you really the one that is to come, or shall we look for another? He's doubting. You might even call him today a skeptic. As it turns out, John the Baptist may not be all high and mighty as we once thought. In fact, in a lot of ways, he's really a lot like us. When we are out doing God's work, when we're out confronting people in their sins, when we're out displaying our faith before others, sending checks to missionaries, or men when we're making breakfast for those poor, poor women and children of our church, then we say, God has given me purpose. God has given me strength to do His bidding. But when we're in prison, we're locked down or locked up, sick, feeling like we have no purpose in life, then we begin to doubt, maybe despair. Then we begin to question God. Where are you, God? What happened to the days when I was telling people to straighten up and live right, to confess your sins, to eat a high-fiber diet of locusts and honey, to wear all-natural clothing like camel's hair, and don't waste all your money on that high-fashion designs? Why am I, John the Baptist, behind bars? Why are not all those unbelievers I've been preaching to, why aren't they behind the bars? If Jesus really is the Christ, shouldn't I be out there with Him? Isn't there strength in numbers? I don't mind playing second fiddle, or singing bass, or even being the warm-up act for the Lord Jesus. I'm not asking for much, just give me a sign. I think John the Baptist was blinded by his imprisonment, don't you? If he weren't in prison, I doubt very much that John would have doubted. Blinded by imprisonment due to sin. That's John. And in a sense, John behind bars really represents the whole world. From Adam to Abraham to Ahaz to Andy Williams. All people. That's really all of us there. If you look at the front of the cover today, the bulletin, you see John behind bars. Really, that's kind of a picture of all of us and the whole world ever since after the Garden of Eden, when we all got kicked out of the garden. We used to be in God's presence. We could see God face to face. But now there's something that separates us between God, right? We're separated. We don't see what God is doing in the world like we did once before. Those bars of imprisonment silence us from being like God. They challenge our faith because we can't do anything about this separation due to sin on our own. And when you're in prison, you're forced to do one of two things, either to despair or to trust in the word of what's happening outside those bars, to trust in a report that comes to you from the outside, extranos, as some would say, an outside, external word that's for us. What is it like out there? What's this reason of this first advent, this first coming of Jesus? What is He doing? Is He the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Does that sound familiar? Do we see God today? Do we see Jesus among us today? And what do you make of this world and all of its evil within you and outside of you? Despair, of course, is an option. We could all despair. I could even cite some atheists in the world who have taken their own life, self-eradication or euthanasia, once their writing was on the wall. Oh, suffering from cancer is coming. Game over. Some have done that. Despair. And the other option, believing. Others. Believing in others and trusting the word that they've heard of the report of a man who lived and died and rose for you. A man, Christ Jesus, who healed and restored and cast out demons and showed many, many great powers as if he were God on earth. You might have to trust in this word spoke by the holy prophets and the evangelists and even God himself in the flesh. For as it is today, we don't have prophets and priests like the old times. Rather, Hebrews 1:1 says, in many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets. But now in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. John was forced to believe, not by sight, but by faith, that the report sent to him by his disciples in prison about Jesus and his purpose, why he had come and who he is. Verse 21 in our text told us, in that hour after Jesus was asked, are you the one to come or should we look for another? That's when Jesus went out and healed diseases. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me. So the ball is now in John's court. Do you believe, Brother John, though you sit there in prison? And John, representing all of us, we might ask the question to each one of us, do you believe, though you sit there in prison? Does evil and suffering in the world shake your confidence in the God who promises to overcome by his first and second advent? The shootings this week bear witness, do they not, of evil in the world. The reality, there is great evil in some. Maybe there's all sorts of psychological reasons, sure, but nonetheless, it's a great tragedy. It just doesn't come back by praying. Things like this happen. It's happened before, it'll probably happen again. It bears witness to the national reality, the national attention that we have when something evil and bad happens, and our hearts long to comfort. We long to comfort those families. What an unspeakable, horrible tragedy. But all this reminds us of the reason why we come to church, why we have this Advent hope and longing for something to come, longing for a restoration, longing to make all wrongs right again. And that's the reason why Jesus came once long ago and that he will come again, to make all wrongs right, to preach good news to the poor, the hurting, the lonely. And we, the church, today are that voice speaking that comfort of God, speaking the truth and love that God will restore all things and make all things right once again. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Is there reason to hope that Christ will come again and make all things right? The word in our text today gives us that confidence that he came once already, healing, restoring, raising the dead, making the lepers walk, making the blind see, giving comfort to the downtrodden. And even as we sang in the hymn, and as it says in the Gospels, he comes the prisoners to release. He comes the prisoners to release. John in prison may have understood, maybe understood to be also kind of a prophecy, if you will. John's a prophecy. He's in prison. He's a prophet. And everything that happens to the prophets also happens to whom? To Jesus, right? So John being in prison is really, he's not serving no purpose. That's kind of the option of despair. I don't have a purpose. I'm just here in prison. But really, he's serving a great purpose. He's teaching us in the world about what will happen to Jesus, the great prophet. Just as John is suffering unjustly for sins that he didn't do, Herod and his brother's wife, that's why he's in prison. He was telling Herod, you should not take your brother's wife. That's why John got put in prison, right? And here he's suffering unjustly just for preaching the word of God. Suffering for not doing anything he did. He didn't break the law, didn't go through a stoplight, anything like that, didn't steal anything. He's suffering unjustly. Where is God in all that? Well, he's the prophet, John the Baptist. And everything that happens to John the Baptist is going to happen to Jesus. The world rejects prophets, and the world is going to reject Jesus. John doesn't have no purpose in prison. He's fulfilling a great purpose of God, to show the world what's going to happen to Jesus. He is also going to suffer for innocent things, for himself. But in suffering innocently, he's taking on all of our guilt, taking it to the cross, suffering on our behalf, that all of us sinners, evil people, even people who shoot others, might have the hope of eternal life if they turn and repent, receive the grace of God. You know, as Christmas time approaches, you might be wrapping some presents and putting them underneath the tree, right? And they say that good things come in small packages, right? Well, for example, a big lump of coal is not as good as what? A small little diamond, perhaps, right? Small diamond, much, much better. So there's things in our world that proves this to be true. Jesus says at the end of our text today, among those born of women, none is greater than John, yet the one who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So the final question for you all today is, how do you want your God? Big and bad, chopping down trees that don't bear good fruit, kind of like John was witnessing to God before. You know what I mean. Or will you receive God in a small package, even if you're in prison? You know, a small package, like a still small voice in the Old Testament. A still small voice, that God. Or a baby lying in a manger, that God. Or a piece of bread and a drink from a cup today, that God. Or a few sprinkles of water on your forehead in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that God. Maybe I should ask a more personal question. Is your faith big and bad and bold like the TV evangelists? Or like John the Baptist prior to prison? Or is it more like a mustard seed? Not trusting in works that we have done or will do, but trusting in the growth that God provides. Trusting in the things that only God Himself can do. Like coming to earth, being born for us, dying for us, giving us eternal life through His Word, the hope, faith, faith. If so, then now you might just see the gift for John the Baptist in prison. Jesus has come in real time and space to set the prisoners free by faith. Not by works that they would do, but by faith in the gospel. Even for John the Baptist, even for us. God's salvation comes as a gift, by grace, through faith. In the real time and space, the real healing, the real suffering and dying, and the risen Jesus Christ. And as such, on this third Sunday in Advent, we are able to, with John the Baptist, say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Amen.